Welcome to youth group. Olivia and Kenzie are going to pass out some hymnals. We're going to be pretty close, so. Should work out just fine. Just matter of fine.
You don't get one.
Matter of fine. Matter of fine. Anybody have anything you want to share before we get rolling?
No,
I have a whole lot I'm going to share tonight, boy. I'm going to share my heart out tonight.
They're wanting higher performance.
All right.
Right.
Colton, are you talking about your muscles, bro? I was like, dang! Like, I mean, look at it, bro. I mean, look at it.
I want to share that I love this youth group, and I love this youth group. I love it.
Pam, you about to get a hug now. Look what you did, girl.
Pam, this ain't Pride Month.
The hug train was your son.
I love what you guys did.
All right, here we go, guys. Let's get rolling here. If you guys want to share something, go now. That's how you get people quiet like that. You're like, share something. No, I don't know. All right, we're going to wait to plan our July 30th event. Right now, I am planning on doing a main event and doing like the midnight bowling, which obviously is going to turn to a lock-in. Just because it's going to be, like, ridiculous sending people home at 2 a.m. or something like that. So that's what we're looking at right now. It's going to be our send-off to our seniors.
Thank you.
Seniors, yeah. So it's going to be good. We're missing Amanda and Sydney. But that's right. And the Kennicott's out of town, so pray for them. Everybody's willing and dealing right now on planes, trains, and automobiles and stuff like that. So.
Good movie.
It is a good movie. So you guys check that one out, but also keep them in prayer, that they'll be safe and they'll get back home safely. So we'll miss them. I don't know about softball yet. It's looking like we might be able to get a rain out in Saturday.
Praise
we'll
God.
See. No, I can schedule this. Okay. But I think I'm seeing the chance.
Pray now.
What is it called? The chance of precipitation. Yeah. Going up to about 60%. According to Apple, so we'll which is the most infallible source I can use. So but no, man, let's do some singing, then we'll get right into our questions. We got a lot to go over tonight. It's gonna be fun, so let's get into it. I'm looking forward just to getting fed, honestly. Sometimes going over current events is just kind of like depressing in a little bit. Not like too depressing, but you know what I mean? Just like, as a Christian, Philippians 4:8, you know, whatsoever things are pure, honest, holy, all that good stuff we're supposed to be thinking about. You got to, like, drop yourself to, like, the crap that's in the world. It just kind of jacks you up a little bit sometimes. So, but, you know, you want to be well-versed on that. I think I think one of the best things that the Bible does is it shows you how relevant it is by applying it to the current events. I think that's one of the things that gets taken advantage of in the world today, is just, like, people think the Bible is for religion, but what's happened out here in the world is completely separated, and then we put up this wall. So I'm going to do my best I can to, you know, keep that balance there for you guys. I want to, like, stay ahead of what's happening out there, like the trends that are happening in your classrooms, the things that you guys are saying on the news and stuff like that, and talk about those things, because the Bible is definitely relevant to all that stuff, and God has an answer for all of it, how we got to operate. Tonight, we're going to touch on those things a little bit, but we're mostly just going to be in the book, having you guys answer some questions out of there. So I'm looking forward to it. I think we'll have a good time of edification. We'll pray about it and trust that the Lord will give us something that only He can do, and we'll move forward with that. So with that, Colton, can you open us up with a word of prayer? We're going to sing a couple songs, and then we'll get right into it.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, Lord. Thank you for bringing everyone safely here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we have a good youth group, and just keep everyone safe, Lord, for all
of us. Amen. Turn to 151. It's been a while since we sung this. Jesus is coming again. You guys feel good sitting down while you're singing? You need to stand up. Oh, all right, stand up. Stand up. That does not feel right. That's right. Let's go. I do too, man. Trust me. All right. 151. Marvelous message we bring. Glorious carol we sing. Wonderful word of the King. Jesus is coming again. Here we go. Verse number one. Marvelous message we bring. Glorious carol we sing. Wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again.
again. It may be morning, may be noon, may be evening, and may be soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Forest and flower exclaim, mountain and meadow the same. All earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. It may be morning, may be noon, may be evening, and may be soon, coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Standing before him at last, trial and trouble all pass. Crowns at his feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Soon coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again.
44, and can it be that I should gain? Feel like I haven't sung this in a long time. And can it be? Maybe we'll sing it again on Sunday too. Here we go, verse 1.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Die he for me who calls his name, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die?
On the first verse again, and can it be?
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Die for me who causes pain, for me who him to death pursued.
Amazing love.
Amazing love. Can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Verse 2, he left.
He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Now no condemnation, now I dread, I'm clothed in righteousness divine. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Amazing love.
Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for
me? Amazing love, last time.
Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
All right, 391, a flag to follow. I sought a flag to follow, a cause for which to stand. I saw a valiant leader who could my love command. I sought a stirring challenge, some noble work to try to give my life fulfillment, my dreams to satisfy. Someone was looking for a ring and answer. They had doubts. They needed a torch of truth uplifted. They had searching that was happening inside of them. They found it all in Jesus Christ. Verse number one, I sought a flag to follow. Here we go.
I sought a flag to follow, a cause for which to stand. I sought a valiant leader who could my love command. I sought a stirring challenge, some noble work to try, to give my life fulfillment, my dreams to satisfy. I found them all in Jesus, the light, the truth, the way. Beneath his flag I'll take my stand and follow him today. I sought a ringing answer for all my doubts inside. A torch of truth uplifted, my searching steps to guide. I sought a word of wisdom, a true authority.
Amen.
I sought to know life's purpose, to solve this mystery.
All right, where'd you find it?
I found them all in Jesus, the life, the truth, the way. Beneath his flag I'll take my stand and follow him today. I sought for satisfaction, for yearnings deep within. I sought for full deliverance from chains of guilt and sin. I sought for peace and pardon,
freedom.
For freedom from my fears. I sought a hope to cling
Amen.
To beyond these passing years. I found them all in Jesus, the life, the truth, the way.
I found them all!
I found them all in Jesus, the life, the truth, the way.
One more time!
I found them all in Jesus, the life, the truth, the way. Beneath his flag I'll take my stand and follow him today.
Amen, amen. 212, nothing but the blood. You know, sometimes I'm looking into this stuff a lot right now, but we're going to take some time and talk about the side of Christianity a lot of people don't know about. You know, a while back I did a message and I said one of the most unbelieved verses in Christianity is Ephesians 6:12, where the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Usually whenever someone's having an issue or something that's going wrong in their life, they're blaming it on a different person that's around them or something like that. The Bible clearly says that's not what we're wrestling against. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says over there, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Okay, so we understand those things, but guys, there's a different level to this. And when you look at some of the old saints, Brainerd, Wesley, Whitfield, these guys like that, and you look at the amount of time they actually spent in prayer, we might think, okay, well, society was just slower back then. They didn't have social media. They didn't have transportation. So everything was just slowed down a lot more. No. The reason why they were able to bring in the church period that they brought in with that Philadelphian church age is because of those things right there. They actually knew what weapons to use, and they were using them. And there's some powerful things. I'm talking about scientifically what happens when you pray. All right? There's energy that comes from each and every one of us that the Bible talks about. And so I know that's getting a little esoteric and deep right now. We're not going to go there. But the whole point is there is power in the blood. There is nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash away your sins in the universe. And God set that up in a scientific way for it to accomplish that purpose. All right, so we'll get into some of that stuff later on, man. But when we sing these songs, there really is power in it.
Amen.
I'll give you one quick illustration before we sing. A preacher was talking, and he had seen a lot of those spiritual things happen in his own life. And, you know, you've heard Pastor Bob talk about the demon in the water heater and the freaky little six-year-old boy that picked him up and threw him across the room at summer camp one time. And some of these other crazy stories that we talk about that where the spirit world combines with our physical world. Same thing. Preacher was coming out of his office one night, just got done finishing his sermon, getting ready for Sunday morning. He left one little silhouetted light out into his little foyer area. And as soon as he walks out there, there's this figure standing there with this like black top hat on, like looked like a trench coat, just staring at him. And for him, he had enough experience with that. For me, I would have been screaming and pissing my pants. Okay, that would have been crazy, man. But anyway, this guy knew what he was doing, and he said what he said in that moment. The Lord just gave him the strength. He said, hey, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of... And when he said blood of Jesus, that thing vanished out of his sight. Guys, there's power in these words. When we talk about not changing the words in your Bible, it's not just because we like antiquity. And we believe that the King James Bible is the best just because it's the oldest or anything like that. Guys, there's power in the individual words in your Bible. And when you jack around with those combinations, the weapon doesn't work like it ought to work. That's why the devil's number one job is to get rid of those words, get rid of the blood, get rid of the name of Jesus, jack up the deity of Jesus Christ and stuff like that. There's power. Why am I getting on this now? Because the day and age that we're going in, you guys are going to see more and more demonic activity, more and more spiritual things manifesting themselves. As we get closer and closer to the Antichrist showing up, to the devil coming down here and actually taking on the form of flesh like Jesus Christ did. He mimics Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say about Jesus Christ? Great is the mystery of godliness, how that God was manifest in the flesh, just like this. He stopped being a spirit, John 14. He came in physical flesh and bones. The devil's about to do the same thing. And the closer he gets to that time, you're about to see a lot more activity like that picking up. Guys, you better knock off all this crap with, you know, playing around with the world and listening to their music and watching the stuff that they watch. You're going to open yourself up to a whole butt whipping of hell. Okay? It's high time for Christians to start realizing what God called us to, getting ready for what he's trying to take us towards. All right? When the rapture happens, does he take us to Jerusalem? Does he take us to somewhere in the world? That's where we set up shop for the rapture? No. Come away, my love, my fair one, my bride. Come away. 2 Corinthians 6 tells us that right now. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Don't get saved and then find a way to make your Christianity look cool to the rest of the world. That's where you lose your power, okay? You lost power when you tried to gain influence. Let God be your power. Let him be your strength, all right? The arm of flesh will fail you. All right? It's God working through you that accomplishes these things. Didn't mean to start preaching right there, but these things are powerful, man. The Lord has opened my eyes up to this more and more and more. This stuff is not a joke. It's not a game. And you're going to need the powerful things. Thank God we had a preacher that had enough sense, that God gave him enough grace to make us stick to these old hymns. That didn't, Jaden and Olivia just got back from some youth group in Oklahoma where they pretty much had like a rock concert going on, they said. I'm so glad. I mean, you know what's so bad about that? It's not the fact that, you know, it's blasphemy to Christianity and stuff like that. It's the fact that those people in that concert won't have any power when the devil comes after them. They've lost their tools. They've lost their tools that God gave them to fight. And now their spirituality is no deeper than the last song that was played to their ears. Thank God that we don't have our guns, our weapons taken. You know, that's what people say about America right now. Boy, if we were like any other country, boy, we'd be in a totalitarian dictatorship right now. Thank God we still have our Second Amendment. Too bad Christians are giving theirs up.
Amen.
Right? So thank God for that. Thank God that he's still giving us these things. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Bob and the stand that he's taken to make sure that we have these tools. Now we have a fighting chance. All right, 2:12, nothing but the blood. Here we go.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of
Jesus. It's a precious flow.
Oh, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, and for my pardon this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, for my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of
Amen.
Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus, and this is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
All right. Let's get going, guys. Turn to Psalm chapter 15. Psalm chapter 15. Psalm chapter 15. Jade, I'm going to pick on you since we don't get you guys here too much. So, Psalm 15, while everyone's turning there, you have a friend on the tennis court. You just whooped up on him so bad that you got him thinking about death now. And not because he's going to commit suicide, but he was like, man, I mean, I literally got slaughtered on the court. And then God sends something through his mind and says, yeah, what would happen if you actually did get slaughtered? Where would you go? And then he says, you know what? I think that tall, lanky guy over there looks like a Cherokee Indian. He knows something about what happens when people die. Why don't you go ask him? And he comes up to you and says, hey, I know I don't deserve to talk to you with the way you just slaughtered me on the court and everything like that, but I just humbly, I heard you're a Christian, and someone said you know how to get to heaven. If your buddy, so this is a high school kid, says that to you, Jaden, what are you going to say to him? How do I get to heaven?
I would say that, just like the song that we were talking about, not of works that you have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Like, there's nothing that you can do yourself to get yourself to heaven. Like, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Like, Ephesians
9. That's it.
So, like, you can't do anything yourself to get to heaven. Like, you'd have to live a perfect, sinless life, and we all know that that's not something that anyone can do. Like, day in and day out, we continually sin, fall short of the glory of God. So, the only thing that you can do is just fall on your knees and beg for forgiveness and ask Jesus Christ, who is perfect, and he already took that punishment of sin for you, and just ask him for forgiveness for your sin, and just that he can take on that burden so that you don't have to.
Wow. What do you guys think? You think Jaden's buddy's going to make it to heaven? or is he going to make it just to the Catholic Church? I think he's going to make it all the way to heaven. He's not going to get stopped by that ceiling. So, very, very, very good, Jaden. I'm going to keep putting you guys on the spot like that. Ethan looks like he wants to answer some questions, too, over here. All right, Psalm 15. Olivia, since you're here, why don't you read that for me? Psalm 15. Okay. Your big girl voice.
Okay. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle?
Now, hold on. You guys pay attention when Olivia's reading, because this is where all of our questions are coming from, all right? Go ahead, Olivia.
Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth is in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is
contemned. Yep.
But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved.
Wow. This person, does this sound like any of you in here right now? Does anybody think that sounds like them? You want to give a personal testimony? Here's a question. What is the holy hill? It sounds like someone's going over a list of self-righteous acts to get into a holy hill or something like that. Does anybody have any ideas on what a holy hill is? Here's another question. If this is heaven, will these things work today to get there? Here's my final question. Is this how you get to heaven? Is this it? Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, and whose eyes a vile person is contemned, which just means despised. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Shall never be moved. Maybe you don't want to do these things. It sounds like someone's getting petrified or turned into a statue. Is that what's going on here? All right. I'm going to read some references on this holy hill. Let's see if this shocks anybody's creativity here. Let's see. I put this in my concordance. Holy hill shows up 5 times. One in Psalm 2:6, one in Psalm 3:4, one in Psalm 15:1, Psalm 43:3, Psalm 99:9. Listen to these. Psalm 2:6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Psalm 3:4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. Psalm 15:1, the one we just read. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Psalm 43:3, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Lastly, Psalm 99:9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. All right, let's do an easier question. Does the holy hill sound like something good or something bad? Ethan says good. Colton, what do you think? Caleb, what do you think? Don't just be peer pressured. Don't let them trick you.
I think it's good.
Okay. Jordan, think it's good? Josh, you wouldn't agree with them, would you? No.
I would.
Oh, you would? You guys are all pushovers. What about you, Selena? Yeah. Okay, so we said that it's a good thing. Does anybody have any more information based off of the verses I just read? That's everywhere in the Bible where it's found.
I mean, it's all in the Old Testament.
Okay, it's all in the Old Testament. Okay, we can take away something from that. So here's a question. Do you think this has anything to do with New Testament Christians getting to heaven then?
No.
Why not, Josh?
Because it's meant for the Jews.
That's pretty impressive. How'd you know that?
Because up until Jesus died, that's when it all transfers over to us, the Christians.
That's right.
Before that, it's for the Jews.
They change your, I'd say, like, if you're reading those, you're going to do, like, a sacrifice to, like, forgive, like, your sins, because since it's the Old
Testament.
You said right now, or when did you say?
Well, it's right now, since it's like the Old Testament, so where they have to do sacrifices, and that's why it's talking about all these good works that you can do to basically maintain, like, I'd say, like, your image.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's very good, because that's kind of talked about later when it talks about he that walketh uprightly. There is just like a spiritual status you have, and if it's not up to par, you're not getting in, it seems like. Yeah, that's what we call self-righteousness, and it's what the Jews had to do all throughout the Old Testament. They had to maintain a level of purity before God to be accepted by God when they died. Do you guys wish that's what you guys had to do to get to heaven? Wouldn't that be? How many of you think you would make it if that's what you had to do? Smart. Very good. All right. So very good. This holy hill here, guys, from what I can tell, it sounds like it's a place that's associated with God's tabernacle. Okay. There's another question. Where's God's tabernacle? What'd you say? There was an ark there at a time, and there could be, and there has not been. Huh? Who knows what the word tabernacle means? Okay, it's just a general, like, temple, like, place of worship where the Jews got together, all right? That's where they met God. That was the enclosure where they did their religious services. The high priest did, and his offerings, all right? Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? So, guys, let's touch base on something Sierra said and what Josh said. So, Sierra said this all shows up in the Old Testament. Josh said it's all to the Jews. Yes. So, maybe your question to me is, so, Zach, why are we here? You know, what does this have to do with us in 2021? So, check it out. What we're going to see here is just a good general picture of what someone's righteousness looked like back in the Old Testament, what God was looking for them. And it's also, here's the doctrinal thing. What we're reading in Psalm 15, 1 through 5, guys, is actually the standard they're going to be held to in the future after Jesus Christ comes back. Did you guys know that everything that takes place down here on planet Earth, especially when it comes to God and the ceremonies and the Jews and stuff like that, is nothing less than a picture and a shadow of heavenly things that he has up there? So, just like God has a place there he dwells up in heaven called Mount Zion, do you guys know what Jerusalem's called in the Bible, that area? It's called Zion, the city of our God. Okay? So, everything that God set up down here on the earth in Jerusalem with the Jews in Jerusalem in the temple is just a shadow or a picture of what God actually has going up there in heaven. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? David here is asking the question, trying to figure out what it is that they're going to have to do to abide in this tabernacle. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Now let's start walking through some of these characteristics here, because I think even though this isn't how we get saved, yes, this is in the Old Testament, and yes, it's a future reference to what they're going to have to do in the millennium to stay in good fellowship with God. What it is for us right now, it's some instructive things that we have to do to maintain some good fellowship with God. And we're going to walk through here and see it. Right here where it says, he that walketh uprightly. Uprightly. Does anybody know what that word upright means? The right way. Right up. Listen to this in Isaiah 33, 13 through 15. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Oh, this is the opposite. Psalm 15, 1 was talking about those that would dwell in a holy hill. Isaiah 33, 14 here talks about folks that are going to dwell with devouring fire. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Verse 15, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the remission of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. So we found that word upright over there once again. upright is walking according to the word of God. It's walking according to what God gave us in the scriptures. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. How do you work righteousness? Anybody want to take a stab at that? What does the word righteousness mean? Ethan, what do you think the word righteousness means?
I don't want to say like perfect, but like
what's the root word?
Yeah, that's a good point. Who knows what the root word of right? Oh, what is it? Right. All right. Is right a good thing or a bad thing? What if you're left-handed? Josh didn't like that. Yeah. Depends on the context. Like if you're batting or if you're pitching or something. Oh, oh, oh! Look at this guy, man. Dang. Okay. All right. So righteousness is doing what's right. Isn't that cool? That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's why I like the King James Bible. I mean, it just kind of takes words, makes compound words out of them, you know, puts stuff together. But it's pretty simple when it comes down right down to it. So this person's supposed to walk uprightly. They're supposed to work righteousness. Now watch this. And speaketh the truth in his heart. What does that mean, to speak the truth in your heart?
Basically, what?
Very good. Has anyone ever lied to themselves in here before?
Amen.
All right. Imagine God making that a stipulation for you to keep your salvation. As long as you're always true to yourself, you can have it. Oh, boy. How many times would you have to get saved in a day? You know, what people talk about liars, and usually when we talk about liars, they talk about people that don't tell the truth. Did you also know people that don't believe the truth are liars? Or people that believe a lie is a liar. And that has to do with speaking the truth in your heart. You can't deceive yourself when it comes to that. Anybody can speak the truth with their mouth. You know, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why we hate politicians. They tell us what we want to hear. And they say some things that are very true outwardly. But they know that I'm never going to really enforce this because the people that support me and give me my money will never allow me to do this. And so therefore, I'll say this to get voted. But once it comes down to actually making the true calls, I'm not going to follow through with this. That's speaking the truth with your mouth, but not with your heart. You know, that's where Christians get in trouble a lot of times. You know, we've talked about the way that we come to church and how we operate amongst one another. And, you know, putting on the right show at church, but at home living a different lifestyle, a different testimony, guys. That's not speaking the truth with our heart. Some tough stipulations. I'm glad I got salvation by grace through faith, like Jaden laid out. Now look at this one. This is a weird one. Verse 3. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. Can you bite someone with your tongue? Or should you be able to bite someone with your tongue? Oh, I hope not. That's weird. What does that mean? How can you backbite someone with your tongue? Oh. Lay that out, Kinsey. Yeah, lay it out, girl. Let me have it. So, like, give me an example, like, of where you think someone might backbite you, or where you feel like you just know a good example of a backbiting tongue.
Huh. So when I was little, no, not like cleaning my room, I'd be like, no, why don't you do it for me? Like, you're my parents, you're my slaves, like, you know.
If I said that might be all that's left is my tongue. Yeah. Or I wouldn't have my tongue anymore. Wow. Okay, so Kendi said that's an example of a backbiting tongue. You guys like that example? You have others? Sierra?
James talks about how we need to bridle the whole body.
Mm.
And on how we also need to bridle our mouths.
Mm.
Mm. Like, the bridle is like the word of God, and it basically turns like the horse, whichever way, like, you let it, like, you choose on which way, like, you want it to go. But it's all about, like, which spirit.
Very good. What are you going to say over here?
I was just going to say, like, backbiting, like, when you say the words, it's going to come back to bite you. Mm. Backbiting.
That's a good point. Come over to Proverbs 18. There's a verse that kind of talks about someone's mouth condemning them. that's a good verse, Caleb. Look over here at Proverbs 18. Let's pick it up in verse 6. Watch this. A fool's lips enter into contention. That means fighting. So you guys ever have kids at school who it seems like, man, they just won't shut their mouth. That's why they're always getting into fights. That's why they're always in gossip. That's why they're always in drama. All right. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. How many of you guys have ever seen deaf people fight? I mean, I'm sure it happens. You know what I mean?
Find a video.
Now you guys are going to go get on YouTube and look for deaf people fighting. I'm sure you can find it out there because the world's crazy. Here's my point. Usually, guys, it's what your mouth says that gets you into that type of situation. You call somebody out, you make fun of them, you embarrass them in front of the wrong people or the right people, depending on what you're trying to accomplish. And then they're like, I've had enough of your what? Your foot, your hand, your mouth. I'm going to shut that lip for you. I'm going to shut that mouth for you. All right? Watch this. That's what happens to the fool when he doesn't learn the lessons. Oh, sorry, my foot's cramping. Watch what happens in verse 7 to the fool who does not learn the lessons from shutting his mouth. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. I'm going to tie this in here. I want to see if anybody else just got a word from the Lord on that verse you want to lay out to us. A fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are the snare of his soul. What does that mean? What's something scary you can share with us about that verse? Selma, you got anything? A fool's mouth is his destruction. Does that make any sense at all to you? Does that mean anything? A fool's mouth is his destruction? All right, Sierra's still not hogging the glory here. Go ahead. Let's see what you got. How could your mouth just destroy you and end up being a snare to your soul, Jaden?
The only thing that I think of is in Matthew, when the Pharisees or whatever, like a lot of times it's confused with like an unforgivable sin or whatever.
Yeah.
But where basically they compare the Holy Spirit to the devil working.
Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, yeah.
Yeah, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And, their mouth is that outward expression of what they're thinking in their heart. And so, I don't know, basically just while they're thinking that, they can't get saved. That's what's in their heart, they can't get saved. So, I mean, I guess in a way it's the snare to your soul, what you say about the Holy Ghost, what's in your heart is going to prevent you from going to heaven forever.
That's perfect. That's exactly what I was getting at. Like he said, what's in your heart will come out of your mouth. What does the Bible say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A fool's mouth is his destruction. You guys know one of the reasons why a lot of people don't get saved? Because they're having too much fun arguing with Christians and showing them how smart they are and how they can continually come up with questions for them. Hey, man, do you know where you're going when you died? Yeah, but what about Noah's wife? Where'd she come from? Okay, do you know where you're going when you die? Yeah, if Cain and Abel were Adam and Eve's first kids, how could Cain have a wife? Was that incest? They got these tricky questions. I understand that, man. Do you know where you're going when you die? Yeah, could God make a rock big enough so that he couldn't pick it up? You see what I'm saying? A fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are the snare of his soul. One of the things that gets my kids into trouble is when we're trying to correct them and they keep trying to alibi why they did what they did instead of listening to while we're telling them that's not okay. And sometimes our discipline is going to be very light. It's going to be, you know what, let me just go correct them so at least he knows that's not going to be acceptable. But depending on how much they talk back to us and yap, my levels of discipline start to rise. It starts out, I'm just going to go correct them and let them know that's not okay. To, I'm going to correct them harshly and let them know that's not okay. To, okay, now you're going to have to go to your room. To, okay, you don't have a room anymore. You're going to be sleeping outside. Okay, so it just keeps escalating, guys, based off of what? The mouth. That mouth yapping. And it ends up being the snare of his soul. Wouldn't that be horrible? Thinking that you're so smart that you escaped the Christian evangelist just to find out when you got to the white throne judgment that the only thing that kept you from heaven was your own mouth. A fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are the snare of his soul. Bounce back here, Psalm 15. If you're expecting a beautiful outline tonight, you guys better stop. Because all we're doing is going verse by verse and enjoying what the Bible teaches us and what we're going to talk about. All right? I'm loving picking you guys' brain, seeing how these verses lay on your heart. What comes out when we talk about it. He that backbiteth not with his tongue or doeth evil to his neighbor. That's going to be a standard in the millennium. How you treat your neighbor. Do you talk about them behind their back? Do you treat them well? Nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Now, I'm skipping past those because this might end up taking some more time. Verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. That means despised. But he honoreth him that fear the Lord. Now, here's my question. A vile person. And what a standard for stand in fellowship with God for us. That's how we're taking this inspirationally. Is that God wants us to look at vile people in a despiteful way. You guys understand that? So he says, if someone's vile, you shouldn't be flocking towards them. You should despise them. Does anybody have an example of someone who was a vile person today in 2021 on July 8th?
Me.
So Alex, so we should despise Alex. I would despise Alex. Only problem is that I can't see Alex. I just see the blood of Jesus Christ, God's son, covering his sins. And so I just see another Christian here. So I'll pass on you, Alex. All right. So I'm taking Christians out of that group right now, vile people. That's good for hymns when you sing them, you know, a guilty sinner such as I, you know, the chiefest of sinners, like Paul said and stuff like that. But let's step outside of Christianity. We'll come back and destroy the brethren later. All right? So, who is a vile person? Ethan.
What's that one dude that just got out of jail?
There's a lot.
Which one?
Pookie. Pookie got out of jail.
Bill Cosby?
Oh!
Yeah,
oh.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay. Very good. Why is Bill Cosby vile?
Because he admitted to doing all that stuff.
Okay.
Technicalities.
Gotta love those techniques. Man, very good. Let's start over here. Selma, do you know any vile people? Have you heard of any, have you seen any vile people ever in your life? Or have you been pretty much living in heaven this whole time?
I mean, basically everyone around us, like, outside in the world.
Wow. I want a name. Let's name names today. Give me the name of one person that you feel you could prove in court was vile.
I was about to say somebody, but...
Oh, I mean, well, it doesn't have to be... Hey, that, listen, anybody that's that comes into your mind that you feel like you won't get beat up for saying right here. Which I took Christians out of it, so...
Let's just say Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. She says Bill Gates. Mr. Spider-Man himself is vile. All right? Who do you think is vile, Olivia? You're too sweet to say somebody's vile. I can't even see that.
What?
Oh,
Hitler.
Hitler is a vile person. I bet there's about a lot of leftover Jews that would agree with you, you know, and a lot of other people. Not leftover, like they're cleaned up. Oh, my gosh. They didn't come out right at all. All right. Absolutely. Very vile. Sierra, who do you think is vile? Ooh, okay. All right, that was straight up there. We won't touch on those hot rocks. Good. Kinsey.
There's too many people in my school to name.
Okay. Name your favorite.
All right, don't name someone at your school then. Is there anybody outside of your school that's vile, or do they only send them to your school?
People.
You don't take... What about in society in general? Are there any people in entertainment? Any people in the music industry? Any Are there any astronauts? Are there any Muppet babies? Or, I don't know. Oh. Is there anybody in a scary movie you think is... How about a scary movie character? Who's a vile character? Give me one.
Annabelle. Oh, no.
Annabelle, all right? She's vile. Jaden, who's vile in your mind?
Well, if we're thinking, like, technically the vilest or the worst would be those that condemn others to hell.
Ooh.
I don't know, like a founder of the big, like, cult or religion.
Mm-hmm. False religions, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Caleb.
Joe Biden.
Uncle Joe. All right, so Uncle Joe is taken. Yeah. We got Bill Gates and Uncle Joe off the board. All right, Colton.
Hillary Clinton.
All right. Oh, no, Drake, we don't want to hear from you. No. Ethan.
Nancy Pelosi.
Josh.
All the Clintons.
Wait, even George Clinton from the Funkadelics back in the 70s? No, I'm just playing. All right.
I told him what I was going to say.
All right. Now you give us something else then, Jordan. Who you got? Is there anybody you would be scared to be caught with by your parents?
Josh Smith.
Oh. All right. No Christians, Jordan. All right. Is there, like, anybody in entertainment that you think is just repulsive? Oh, maybe you guys are confused. I meant repulsive, guys. Repulsive, okay? Vile, disgusting, repulsive. So who'd you say?
I can't remember his name. The guy who played Forrest Gump. Oh,
Tom Hanks. Yeah. Tom Hanks is a vile man. All right, let's go, Nereskevich.
The laughing hyena herself.
Oh, Kamala. All right, Miss Harris. Okay. So now, we got a good idea in our mind. We went around, we got 16, 17 different pictures of what a vile person looks like. Now, watch what the Bible says about our attitude towards them. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. Now, one other thing I need to do is I need to go to the Bible, and I need to find a definition for what a vile person is, okay? Because maybe that's why me asking you guys to give me an example of a vile person was kind of weird. I did the same thing. We did a quick little word study here. A vile person. All right. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah 32, 5 through 6. Vile person. Let's see if the person that you guys describe lines up to God's definition. And let's see if there's other people that we didn't describe that line up to this definition. And lastly, what is our attitude to those people that match this definition? Look at this.